Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to another segment of Can We Be Real? This is Reverend Carl, and tonight we're going to be talking on the subject church. Is it a money thing or a God thing? And we're real excited about it. You can actually join in with our conversation and call in. We're expecting callers on the line. If you have a voice that you want to be heard tonight, you can call in. Our call-in number is 347-855-8793. Or you could follow us on the web. You can actually just tune in right on the web. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/help somebody, that's HELPSOMEBODY. This is Reverend Carl, and we're just thankful to be here tonight because it is another glorious day, and it's been a glorious day, and it's a wonderful night. It's 9 p.m. on the East Coast and 6 p.m. on the West Coast, and we're excited that you're listening to us and even joining us online. And tonight we're talking about some serious stuff. You know, we're talking about the church. I know oftentimes we don't really get to talk about the church, but tonight we're talking about the church and money. My God, that's a major thing. And oftentimes we kind of get caught up about it. We wonder what the heck is going on. But as you think about the topic, and I want to bring to you a friend of mine. Her name is Miss Tilly Sager. And Tilly, that's T-I-L-L-I-E, Sager, S-A-G-E-R. She is a wonderful person, and she's going to just sing a little song for us.
For all of the times you were there, when things got tough, for all your many, many blessings, I can't thank you enough. For precious memories that make my heart and soul rejoice, I'm grateful to you for all that you do. I know that I'm blessed, so I dedicate this song to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you for your
goodness.
Amen, amen, amen. That's Miss Tilly Sager, and you can actually Google her name, Tilly Sager, T-I-L-L-I-E-S-A-G-E-R, and her MySpace is at myspace.com, Tilly Sager. She's a wonderful person, and we thank her because she's reminding us there's no need to worry, that God will answer all of our problems, even when we don't think there's a way out. If we just call on Him, we know that God is going to be there through it all. And so even as we're talking tonight, that's exactly where we're going to end up, knowing that God is a present help in the time of need. And God is always there, always a call away, even though we don't think God may not be there right when we need Him. But God is always present, is a very present help, especially in the time of trouble. And it's in those times of trouble that oftentimes we see a side of God that we would not see if we had all our new money, we had all our new honey, and we had everything going just right. And so it's very easy to get caught up on the money thing. And our topic tonight is, church, is it a money thing or a God thing? Well, the easy answer, of course, it's a God thing. Everybody wants to say it's a God thing, you know. And I see that we've got our caller, our co-host, Minister Bobby, is on the line. Are you with us, Minister Bobby?
Well, bless the Lord. I'm glad to be here. Reverend Carl, yeah, we right on the line here.
Yes, sir.
5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Amen. It's
Hello.
A wonderful thing. Good to hear you. And they treating you well up there in Alaska?
As well as can be expected.
Well, we appreciate you because if we go into it a little bit, our history is a long time. We actually met at one of those conferences, and it was a very special time. We've been staying in touch for, my God, what, it's going on 10 years now.
It's close to 10 years. I'll probably say 9. It was we met up at the Manpower Conference in Dallas, Texas, at the Reunion Arena at the time, and we just bonded in the spirit and had a Holy Ghost feel time. We got a breakthrough, got a breakout, and stayed in touch ever since.
All right. Well, that's actually very true, and it's amazing what can happen in the middle of a lot of those conferences. And we were really blessed at that time. It was a wonderful time of fellowship. I'd say it was anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 men in Reunion Arena that weekend that we were there. And I know you came from Alaska. We came all the way from Seattle. I came with a group of over 20. And it was just an amazing time that we saw God moving in the midst of all the men together. Do you remember that time?
Oh, I remember it. Trust me, I remember it. It was actually my third conference I had attended, because the very first one was in 99 in Washington, D.C., the MCI Center. And then I was able to make the one in Tampa or St. Petersburg, Florida. And then also came right back again for 2001 in Dallas. But it was a great time. And it was close to, I would say, it seemed like it was close to 30,000 men, but it was a great time in the Lord. Every night was a revealing, and the Lord was just manifesting itself in a greater way for me. And I just really, I was blessed throughout the entire conference. I think that was the...
Yes, sir. We're gonna get back to conference, but tonight we're talking on a subject that is near and dear to many people's heart in the church. We talk about the church. Is it a money thing or is it a God thing? And primarily, one of the things that we've come to understand is that money's been a major focus in many of these ministries. I mean, we even have what they call prosperity preaching and prosperity gospel. And one particular preacher on there, he says, everybody knows my children. Everybody knows my children, because you'll see my daughter, she drives a Mercedes. You see my son, he drives a Lexus. I drive a Rolls Royce, and when I'm not driving my Rolls, I got a drop-top Mercedes. And is that really what the kingdom is about, to be known by our possessions? Our material possessions.
Well, for that particular pastor, because he had to go so far into it that he had to tell you about his dog.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's right. He's got a $16,000 dog.
Yeah, he paid $16,000 for that dog. But I'll bless that dog.
And if you come in there, the dog will eat you alive.
Won't he do it? The $16,000, he better do something.
My question is that what it means to be successful in the kingdom of God nowadays?
Well, I don't know if anybody else got anything to say about it, but I didn't tell you that. No.
Because one of our other pastors down here, he said that the preachers of a prosperity gospel, they preach a bling-bling message, and so the rappers and the preachers are saying the same thing, get rich or die trying. They even had a recent preacher, they have Secure Your Future. Come to our church. We see conference all the times. You know, how to secure your future. What's the best investments to invest in? And they have multi-level marketing ideas that you can invest in the church. And is this really, you know, to me, the church, I know without a doubt that money is necessary for the maintenance of our world, because this money motive is what has really, it goes back a long ways. And our society is built around money. There's absolutely no question about it. We're not going to get around it. But I believe that the problem becomes such that when money is the major motive for us to go to God,
that's the problem.
So
he's not just
future,
a god of money.
He's
a god of healing.
And we know that when we come to God, it's not about what we can get from God, or we're called to be like God. But somebody somewhere has got it twisted. They kind of turned it backward. And even if you spell God backwards, it spells dog. And you can see that there's a larger portion of our populace that almost when they come to church, man, I tell you, it's almost that you can go to church and not even pay any attention to the suffering that is happening in your neighborhood or the people on the street or any of those things that are making people live down and out and on the streets. But the real satisfaction is in my house, my car, my things, and to the point where helping people, it's not really a major issue right now. And you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Reverend Carl. We're on the line tonight. You can call in if you want to join the conversation at 347-855-8793. We're talking about money in the church. Is it a money thing or is it a God thing? And what we're doing tonight, we're going to be visiting a few subjects and a few topics, because it seems like we've got it twisted up where now we've been given possession over some things and we love stuff. We love stuff and we use people when God has called us to love people and use stuff. In fact, we got so much stuff. I've seen some people, they have garage just full of stuff, so much stuff that they, if you ask them, you say, well, what's all that out there? And they say, oh, it ain't nothing but a bunch of junk. And they got so much stuff that they literally park a car that costs thousands of dollars outside because of all the junk.
Can't take it with them.
But I know there's been a term that came up while we were talking, and it was called church. Do we go for money or do we go for worship? And now I'm not trying to put down money, because money is necessary in order for us to make it in this environment. But the issues come in when we get into a problem is when money has become the motivating factor for the way that we treat people, so that if someone is homeless come into the church, you know, we look at them real funny. More than likely, you know, they definitely aren't going to be ushered down to the front. But if somebody comes in there and, oh, man, they, you know, wearing the latest Brioni suit and driving the latest Bentley and got alligator shoes on to match the big diamond pinky ring, and, oh, my God, come on down front. And it's not even a matter of looking at the person of being who they are and their character. They could have sold drugs to get that stuff, or they could be investors in war and torture or anything. But the issue is that we look on the outside and God looks on the inside. But the money conference that I just heard about now, they want you to come and invest in gold. And I believe we've got a couple callers on the line who may want to chime in on our subject tonight. We've got a caller here. Looks like he's calling in. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm one of the callers. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. There you are, caller. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. Enjoying the discussion that's going on with regards to the topic matter. And, of course, you know I live in California. I'm right in Los Angeles, not far from Beverly Hills. I'm close to where these people got a lot of money.
Well, tell me this. Do you live near Rodeo Drive, or do you live near Rodeo Drive?
You know what? I live close to both. I'm not too far from Rodeo, which is close to Beverly Hills, and I'm not far from Rodeo, which is kind of close to my geographical area as far as the money trail.
Well, tell the people the difference, because people who don't live in Los Angeles may not be familiar that even though both streets are spelled the same, they're pronounced different.
Oh, yeah. Well, just think about the real estate value. Of course, it is definitely higher in Rodeo, close to Beverly Hills.
The Rodeo.
You see, the Rodeo, you know, I think about down home on the farm in Mississippi riding a horse.
Yes. But I think God is God whether you're on Rodeo or Rodeo. It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter, because I tell you, when you come to God with a contrite heart, when you've been through some things, you'll realize it's just the basic things, like waking up in the morning, breathing, having a roof over your head, you know, and being able to have a compassionate heart where you can see that homeless person, stop, give them a little bit of something if you can. And if you can help somebody along the way, and this is the doctrine that Dr. King had always talked about, being able to, you know, help somebody along the way, you know, picking them up by their bootstraps so they don't stumble and fall. You know, if you can do those things, you'll realize the rest of it really doesn't matter, and your living will not be in vain. But I think, getting back to the topic, that when we focus on the fact of us feeling like we need so much, times have changed. You know, you've got the computer age. You know, you've got the marketers, you know, the marketing strategy where they're throwing everything in your face, trying to make you feel that you don't have enough. And if you don't have the designer this, you're not in the in crowd, you see. But we got to get back to the old, I think we have to, you know, we thank God for what he has done for us. I thank God for being the God of my great-great-grandparents, you know, because they had to believe in this God to know that there would be hope along the way. And same with the parents. And now we have come, and it is better for us than it was for them. But we still got to be able to reach out and touch somebody and not get so much caught up into these mega churches and things of that sort. Because there's an article that I was reading, and it was talking about the Scientology Church. And the article was entitled "The Thriving Cult of Greed and Power." And it was written, you know, by this journalist, Richard Behar. And Basically, you know, he was just saying how You just have to be careful because there are a lot of, I guess, entities and people are hiding up under this umbrella of religion, and basically it's a cult to try to get all of your money and want you to come and bring that tall money.
Mm-hmm.
But you ain't doing no missionary work, but just bring your money.
Yes.
And if you get out of that particular church, I'm sure you read the article too, what happens, because they put you in a black area,
mm-hmm.
put you on blackout if you get out of that church.
Oh, yeah, it's just quite interesting, you know, how, they had spent millions of dollars, you know, in litigation and just a whole bit. But I think what's interesting is we're talking about just the greed and how it sometimes in some churches is never enough. I remember going to a little storefront church and getting the praise on and just leaving and feeling so good. And now you go to the mega churches, and soon as before you can even get out the door, people don't know you, they don't speak, and they're on their way because they did that thing. That's go to church on Sunday, pay my little money that I'm going to pay. I'm going to get my praise on. Once I leave, hey, that's it. I ain't helping nobody. I got my blinders.
All right. Well, it looks like we've got a caller from the Atlanta area, and I believe our caller may have something to say to talk to us about this money and the church. And caller from Atlanta, are you on the line?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Are you there?
Y'all sound like educated people. And I tell you, I started a business after last week. What I seen at the New Birth.
You were at New Birth.
No, I read about it. See, they were selling gold up in there.
Oh,
see?
Bless God.
Talking about investing in gold. Well, I don't believe. Well, it got me to thinking. I'm thinking y'all sound like some fairly intelligent people. Why don't we just start us a whole network, multi-level marketing program where we're selling gold in the church? What you think about that? Is that biblical? Would Jesus like that?
Well, what do you say about that, Minister Bobby?
Well, you don't come into my storehouse and turn this place into a place of selling things. This is a house.
Oh, you say Jesus would have turned that out?
I believe Jesus actually had this situation. He turned some tables over.
Did he turn the tables over?
I think he pulled out a big stick.
That's what he got.
And got to whooping people.
Now, how did they do that? How'd they get that so twisted around the corner here in Georgia? That's what I want to know. How did they get it that twisted that it made sense to sell gold in the church?
Well, they were trying to tell
I think it got twisted. Let me get in there. I think it got twisted because somebody took their eyes off the prize.
They took their eyes off the prize.
Yeah,
what was their eyes? It seemed like their eyes. It seemed like
they. They forgot about that.
The eyes was on the purse. It's a little different. The eyes was on the purse. And, you know, it's funny. Y'all were talking about rodeo versus rodeo.
Yes.
Well, you know, is Jesus different in Hollywood or versus Baldwin Hills? You know, is Jesus different in Bankhead versus Buckhead?
Oh, without a doubt.
Is it the same Jesus? Whether you're on Rodeo Drive or Rodeo Drive, or does Jesus change based on how much money you got? That's what I don't understand.
Some people would have you believe that because they say, now, the blessed of God, I'm the head and not the tail. If you ask me how I'm doing, I say praise the Lord to you. I can't even have a normal conversation. And it's amazing sometimes that if you don't have money, if you don't have the fine house, if you don't have someone to help you, and you're not, maybe you're a single parent and living on AFDC, that's for, you know, assistance for families, dependent children. You know, some of y'all may not
used to call that welfare.
Yeah, they call that welfare. But it doesn't treat people very well. And so you would think that if you don't have all of the material possessions that you're not the blessed of God. But that's not what Jesus said. That's not what Jesus said. Because I got it right here. Jesus, they called Jesus into the church meeting when he was a little fella. And they called him in. It's right there in the report in Luke 4, verses 16. And so he came to Nazareth. And it's only a few verses. Bear with me. He says, where we had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as the custom was. And a sidebar, Jesus was born a Jew, Jesus lived a Jew, and Jesus died a Jew, okay? So that's another topic for another day, but I just want to get that in. On the Sabbath day, he stood up to read. He was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it's written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. I'll just stop right there. Do we ever hear good news for the poor in these? I guess that is good news, huh, if you can get some gold. But he goes on to say, he says, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the captives, release to the captives, the prisoners, and the recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And Luke 4 and 20 said, and he closed the book. And I think that oftentimes we have missed that mark. Yeah, we do some missionary work, we do some counseling, but as far as all getting together, and I've seen marches against gay marriage, I've seen marches against abortion, I've seen marches against euthanasia and stem cell research, I've seen churches rally all around those points, but yet I didn't see any marches for a livable wage. And I don't see any marches to get the homeless off the street. In fact, they passed a law down here in Atlanta where it was illegal for them to even ask for money.
Huh. Well,
so the Gold Conference, that was there was a few more, too. We've got prayer cloths for financial breakthrough. You can actually call in and get your prayer cloth for a financial breakthrough. They have blessed water. I was at one conference, and they said for you to what we're going to do, we're going to have they're going to take your offering. Now, we was in the Superdome, not the Superdome. We was in a big dome. And you take your offering, and you ball it up, and you throw it. And they threw it from the back of the room, and then the next person would pick up the offering and throw it forward, and the next person pick up the, and now you're talking 15, 20,000 people doing this. And it was literally raining money.
Oh, yes.
But did the people get to keep the money? If the money rained on you, did you get to put it in your pocket?
Oh, no, no.
You know,
you
I got a feeling all that money didn't make it up to the altar. Because that was the point where they were supposed to pick it up and throw it forward. But you know,
we
a hungry man with a hot dog.
Oh, that was in his pocket.
But let me say this. I was there. And
yeah.
I will tell you that when the man of the hour came, he kind of reprimanded that minister and told him, listen, I know that you might be operating in what you thinking you feel, but don't do that again. Because I know all that money didn't get to the top.
So
did he
me,
say that?
Wait a minute, hold up, because I was there for the night conference, the night service too, but I didn't hear no reprimand. I must have missed that part because it was still raining money.
Did you get to keep the money if it landed on you? See, if it's raining money, seem to me you could open up your pocket and keep it. Did the church get the money back? See, this is what I'm thinking.
To the altar.
I'm thinking we can multi-level market. I'm thinking we can multi-level market this gold thing. I think Eddie might be on to something, see? I mean, you know, if it's okay with Jesus.
What about the ideal of investing in the church? Is that really what we're supposed to do? What should we invest in?
We're not supposed to get rich.
Well, you know what, if I can say this, I think that what we really need to really focus on is the fact that how did the church play an important part in all of our lives? You know, in the lives of our ancestors as well. You know, you went there true enough to get your religion. But let me tell you, also it was a meeting place. It was a place where they gave information, where you were able to know if you were going to decide to escape from slavery. There was a talk that went on to tell you where to go and where the Underground Railroad would be. So it served many purposes. Now, to say what Bishop Lone is doing today with regards to the goal, I'm not in his church. I'm not up under his ministry. But if he's bringing something to the forefront that can empower, then so be it. But don't lose touch of really the core, which is to reach out and to help the least of these.
Well, brother, then let me say this. Let me go back to that particular rainy money. That same preacher that brought that, it was more of a spiritual breakthrough to know that your financial situation is not confined. If you see money coming all the way from the top, and the goal was when you kept throwing that money all the way from the top, all the way top tier of the Georgia Dome, and you kept throwing it, and somebody picked it up and kept going and got to the altar, that means that money's still coming your way. It ain't coming as fast as you think it was coming, but it's still coming your way. So the same thing that he's saying as far as gold, from what I can understand your thing, is that he's, as long as it's going to get the message out that, yes, God is still going to do what he's going to do for you in your life. Is that what you're saying?
So do you think that if there was a, you could buy your way in if you got enough money?
Well, let's go back to the Basilica of Rome, Minister Carl. Now, I know that you're one, if I'm not mistaken, were you an altar boy in your day?
I was an altar boy. That's exactly right. I was at St. James Cathedral in Seattle with Father John Lynch and Sister Mary Frances.
So you know something about the Basilica of Rome?
Yeah, I've heard of it, and the Vatican.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And I'm just saying, when you think of just, wow, with that wow effect is all I got to say, and I've only seen pictures of it. I would love to go. But the fact of the matter is all of the money that went into building
the
church, all of the gold. Now, to say where that money came from now, I've got a feeling that all of that money wasn't raining from heaven. That money came from so many different areas of people's lives and what they were doing and how they got it. And some of them got it legally and some of them got it illegally. But it all ended up, a lot of it, at the Vatican. And I'm telling you, it's just an awesome place. But now, if the church in the day was able to get that type of money, do you think that they would have been able to kind of write history the way they wanted it to be recorded?
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay. So they didn't have a problem about the money. People, they understood to bring the money. But I think what happens is with the mega churches and where we are today, we cannot lose the focus. If there's a money-making opportunity where people can build themselves up and you can help people along the way, you know, then do that. Because God is going to get the glory if you come to him with a contrite heart and have a willingness to want to help to do. And that's just the way I see it, the way I believe it in my heart.
Now tell me, with all of this getting that we've got going on in the church, be it gold, be it investments, be it Mercedes, be it big houses, whatever it is, with all of the getting, tell me, how does the scripture where it says, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, explain that to me.
I think what has happened is we have become a microcosm of our stuff. Like someone had said earlier, you got so much stuff until you can't get rid of it. And listen, I'm guilty. I don't have a lot of stuff. I'm in a modest small house. But the thing of it is, I still have too much stuff. I mean, stuff from the old tapes, you know, and you all know that we have evolved to let's see, CDs now. I even have albums, okay? I'm quite certain if I look strong enough, I can find a 45. But the fact of the matter is I don't want to get rid of any of it.
Okay.
I just don't, you know, because it's so in there and the memories and all of that. But it gets to a point where we just got to let go.
So what do we do when people who make $50 and $100 million a year and other people are just have 50 cents worth of clothes. How does that fall into biblical principles?
It shows whether where civilization is going to have a crash. It's going to crumble down. That's what's going to happen. Because you cannot continue to take away from the rest of these while you just amass so much wealth for yourself and think that it's not going to come and roost in your own backyard. It's just a matter of time.
All right, brother from Atlanta.
Mr. Carl, right on that note, though, even over in Luke 19, the rich man had a problem about giving away his money to help the poor.
Yes, and that's what he said. He was going to build larger barns.
Uh-huh.
And so how does that play in, though? The address the question of if somebody's making $50 to $100 million a year, do you think it would be biblical and right to give away a larger portion of that money?
Well, it's like I was just saying. When the rich man came to Jesus in Luke 19 and said, what can I do? How do I join you and be blessed like this? And Jesus said, give all your money away. He had a problem with that. That's the same thing, same principle as the men today, as people today.
Mm-hmm.
All they got to do is give a portion of whatever to help the fellow brother that may be only making 50 cents a day. But that's messing with the money.
But they say, I gave at the office. The American Red Cross.
Well, you remember when the earthquake happened in Haiti?
So how is it that we've turned from a society that cares about the least of these to a society that cares about the greediest of these?
Well, we're not as hungry as we used to be. Our stomachs are fed, and we can eat the best quality of food nowadays, whereas in the day, you know, if you had a neck bone, you know, you might have dressed it up with a little bit of mustard and picked the meat off the bone. Now you can get to choices of meat. You know what I mean? You can make choices to decide if you want to eat the meat, if you want to be vegetarian, whatever. You can get the best quality of the food now. So you have become the fatted calves. You are not as hungry. You don't pray as much as you used to pray. You don't howl before the Lord. You know, you don't pray until you know that, you know, there's a connection that has come through. And usually what has to happen, I believe, is sometimes a calamity comes to get us back in tune, just like when that earthquake hit Haiti. I'm quite certain it touched people all over the world.
And there's a volcano in Iceland right now that
yes.
is costing, I think, $250 million a day to the airlines.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
But,
and see, and it's these type
the
of things
is,
that will – I'm sorry, go on.
No, but the thing about it is what you were saying, that a fat calf and seven years of prosperity and 7 years of famine, we haven't really seen that back in the days of the recession, back in the 1940s, where they fell in hard times, where that like you talk about that neck bone and you just put the mustard greens with it and you're still able to put – where we were had to go ahead and get on our knees and to pray before the Lord to make a way somehow because we didn't know where the next meal was coming from. But that is not the situation because as much as we say we are in a recession right now, people are still throwing away millions worth of food every day.
That's right.
So why did Jesus tell the folks to be compassionate for the least of these?
Because he wanted you to see yourself in the Bible. See, if the Bible was not written in such a way where we could see ourselves in it, and we wouldn't probably be having this discussion today. Because there are a lot, you know, with regards to the least of these. I know with me, growing up in Chicago, living in the projects, all of that, Dad worked at the steel mill, but then he ended up having to move from the projects because he was making so much money. Then we moved on the west side, you know, and moving on the west side, not a problem.
Like Weezy and them, right?
Yes, probably up in the town.
From the projects to the west side, you know, and then from the west side, you know, the rest is history. I'm here in California now, but I tell you, I embrace the historicity of who I am and the path along the way, because wherever my path take me in the world, I know where I have come from, and I thank God for having a compassionate heart, and we just have to get back to that. But I do know that God is a God who is going to always get the glory, and it might seem as if a lot of people have lost the way, but something happens along the way on the journey that brings us back home.
Yes. Well, it looks like we may have a caller on the line. I think this caller may be in Texas. Do we have a caller from Texas?
Yes.
Are you there, caller? Have you been listening to the we're moving on down the line. We're talking about money or worship in the church. And have you had a chance? What would you like to add to our conversation?
Well, first of all, I think we get it. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can project just a little louder. It would help.
Okay, I think we get it confused is that we are to be blessed to be a blessing. And I think what happens is that greed plays a part in that. And with the churches, if it's not so much of what they're taking in, it's what they're putting back out. And if you're a member, even if you're not a member, the church is supposed to help you. And when you have to go put in an application to get help from the church, and if you pay your tithes and stuff and they don't help you, something's wrong with that picture.
Yes.
You know, and because also the parable about the talents, where the one, he buried his one and he didn't do anything with it, so God
right.
took it from him. You know, so, you know, I think as a African-American people, we have a poverty mentality. There's a lot of people, I should say, with a poverty mentality. And the problem with that, we think that we're Christian and everything, it's okay to be poor. But how can you help somebody else if you can't help yourself? You know, so I don't think it's not that money is evil and all of that. I just think that it's what we do with it, and that it becomes, when it becomes your God instead of God being your God.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. So the money has the money kind of dictated where the church is going and what it's doing?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Yes.
To some degree.
So how do we get out of this money-ism?
I think we need to hold the heads of the churches accountable, because in giving, they should be giving out too. And it's, you know, yes, we should receive something for our service. However, we're to bless other people, those less fortunate than us. And I think the ideal of them selling gold in the church, maybe not in a church service, but outside of the church service, in having an informative meeting and saying, okay, people, this is a way that we can get ahead, because we need to have more of a business mentality in terms of how we, because I don't, God doesn't mean for us to be poor.
Right.
You know? And so, again, I say we need to be business-minded and function like the world. We can be in the world but not of the world. You know, use Christian principles, but be a blessing and let our light shine, you know, that, because how can we profess Christ if we're broke and broke down? You know what I'm saying? And so that's not God. And so we have to look at it differently. Whereas I would say I wouldn't have done that in a church. If it was in a church service, I wouldn't have done that. I would have had an evening session or something outside of the church service and said, hey, this is a business opportunity for us to the way that we could prosper and be a blessing as God has called us to be. You
yes,
know?
I'm pretty sure it was not in a church service,
yeah,
but it was more
okay,
of a conference.
Right.
You know, and I was being a little facetious when I called in, but it was an after hours event, and it was
okay.
Something that was planned probably in the vein that you're articulating. You know, we need to look at gold. I guess where it breaks down, in my opinion, is that while we do need to address economics in this economy, we do need to address retaining wealth and building wealth. I just found it so challenging that we're linking the type of financial gold is a lot of people act like gold is not a risk, right? Or it's a sound and safe investment, and maybe it is. But it seems like the investment that a church should make should be in the people, and constantly using that the structure and resources of the church to enrich the people. And I just don't think investing in gold is a mission of a church. I think it's so far from the red words of the Bible that I don't know how you fit it in there. I don't know how that fits.
Well,
with the message, Jesus didn't have shoes. Jesus didn't have shoes or house.
Right.
I was listening. I can't think of the pastor's name, but I was listening to a pastor a couple weeks ago, and he was saying that his church only meets twice a month in the physical building, and what they do now is they utilize that building. They lease it out for other things to keep, you know, to keep it functioning, because you have to pay the bills. But what he said is they've gone back to home churches, and they have like satellite groups, you know, and the groups come together and they meet at each other's houses so they can bless each house. And they do, so the groups, they go out and they do community service. They find out what needs are needed in the community, and they do those needs. And also, if someone in your cell group has a need, they come together and they make sure those needs are met, you know. But they were saying that I think we messed up where we started buying all these expensive buildings and stuff and meeting twice a week. You know, we're supposed to be the church. It's not in the four walls in the building. And I think that's where the vision got messed up.
Well, I tell you, honestly, another thing, this is just a text message, because we're on a hot topic. There's a person, I'm not sure who, Chris Sugden, he says that, God is to be believed, religion is a device to control the masses, and the church is a networking agent. They say God is to believe, religion is a device to control the masses, and church is a networking agent. What do we say about that? Is church basically a networking place?
Well, let me chime in, because it's turned into that, because going back to some of the conferences, you would have a business card and you would meet somebody on the plane that you're going to. Well, where are you going to? I'm going to so-and-so's conference and everything like that. And you start exchanging business cards, and from there it would be turned into a networking agent. When you go to church, you meet somebody that, well, you can fix my house. Okay, great. I got a car rental. For sale, and I get car rentals. I can help you this way, back and forth. So, in some ways, it kind of has turned into somewhat of a, it's always been like a network agent. You go there, you meet people, and you fellowship. That's very true.
And we have a caller on the line. I want to get her in. Looks like you're in from Seattle. Are you on the line? You on the line? Did you want to join in on our conversation? We're getting down to our last 10 minutes. You've been listening to this Can We Be Real? This is Reverend Carl, and you can always follow me on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com, help somebody, and you can join in, know when these shows are coming, or else visit my website at helpsomebody.net. Seattle, are you there? Well, let's see. Yeah, are you on the line, Seattle? Are you there on Seattle?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, did you want to add to our conversation?
Well, unfortunately, I'm sorry I missed a lot of the show, but what I want to do is jump in with both feet, and if I seem to be struggling, could you please help me out?
Well, we're talking about the church, we're talking about money, and we're talking about being blessed in the church. One of the conference persons has said that the church has been, God is to be believed. Religion is a device to control the masses, and church is a networking agent. That was one of the last comments that we did have. I did hear that,
and I don't believe that. I was taught by black people that God was a God to the white man used him to control black people for slavery, And so I have, moving on up to the east side, so to speak, I haven't seen that yet. As far as the church networking, yes, that was the strongest thing that black people had. We were stronger as a people. We could communicate with each other. We would love each other. We would see about one another. Go see when a person's sick, like Christians, like we're supposed to do now. And I agree with the sister. She said when we go to church, we should be able to, and we pay our tithes and our offerings, and we need help, we should be able to get help. I've been to churches. I haven't been able to get that help.
So how is the church now, how can we get back to a place where we almost like the book of Acts church, where the church is a place where it's not catering to patterns of power, but the church is a place that's helping people to help people. How can we return or actually start anew? Because I don't think we can go backwards.
No, we can start afresh by asking God to help us, to help us change our ways and our hearts, and to reach out and help the poor. And even though I'm like, I agree with the sister, God didn't intend for us to be poor, broke, downtrodden. That's our mentality from being taught that. I believe that myself, because other people that don't look like me, they believe in entitlement.
Well, I wouldn't say that that's a problem, but isn't that like going overboard or something?
Beg pardon?
No, we shouldn't be broke, busted, and disgusted, as one preacher would say. And we're king's kids, so we should walk in the entitlement of being a king's kid. But the thing about it, there can be going overboard with things. Like if you got a preacher over there and they paid $16,000 for a dog.
Yes.
You see where I'm going, right?
I have a video. I don't agree with that at all. That is doctors of demons and seducing spirits. The Lord said that would be prevail at the end, last days. Last was this, Reverend White would say, the lastest days that we're in. Lasting days that we are in. So I think that we sit in the church and we get fat off the word of God, not only monetarily, but spiritually. And he said the laborers are few, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. What about that also? That goes into that also putting our time in. And when we say that we have compassion, how can we say we have compassion when we see people on the street who could use our help and we think, oh, because they want a beer, or we just assume what they want may not even be what they want?
But in order for the church to get back to where it should be, where we're helping the poor and the downtrodden to bring everybody up to the same level, it's not only going to take the saints of the church, but it's going to also take the leaders to go back to the altar. We got to go back on our knees.
Yes.
And say, Lord, take me back to where I need to be so I can help my brother or sister come back up. But it's going to start with the leader of the church and the saints.
Amen.
Himself. Now, that's what I think.
You know, there comes a point, I think the word that we're, that hasn't been said tonight, that we've all been heading towards, is balance. And there is a necessary need for balance between our materialism, our physical, our mental, and our spiritual self, so that we have balance in all four areas of our life. And if you just put a point down on each one, you'll end up with the cross. And at the point of the cross, there is a crossroads in the middle. And it's his way and my way. But there has to be a balance as we stay in the center of God's love. And I thank you all for calling tonight. We have started something that's fantastic, absolutely going on. We're going to continue this discussion, and I'm going to send you out emails and Twitters and let you know how we're going to continue to go on this, because I think there's still more yet to be said about this subject of money and in the church and finding an equilibrium that allows people to live the healthy, abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and life more abundantly. And I think that's in all areas of our life, in all areas of our life, be it whether in our physical, be it in our mind, be it in our spirit, be it in our bodies. And I thank all of my guests and all of my callers that called in tonight. Thank you very much. God bless you. God keep you. Do keep listening on the line, because I will be giving you further details and turning it back over to actually sending out some more information on when the next shows will be. But here is a little more of Tilly Sager, and she says, I believe in you. That's what I want to say tonight, that God believes in humanity. God believes in all of us. God believes even in things that we do that may look selfish or may look materialistic or may look like we're greedy or may look like we're promoting the wealth of the world and we're not really sharing, but nobody really knows our inner secrets and our inner heart. And I know that God knows our hearts, our minds, and our soul. And if we continue to follow what God is leading us to do through the grace of Jesus and the love and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that God will continue to bless and resurrect in each of us an experience that gives us a heart of compassion like Jesus. And we stay in the center of God's love. That's what Jesus did. He said that if you would just love God with your whole heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your essence, that is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. And that just takes in consideration that you already love yourself. And so I believe in you. I know you do. I know you believe in what God has been saying to you. And that money is necessary for survival in our society. But greed is not. And we knowing that we can do something to help somebody, even if it's just a word of encouragement, even if it's bringing out stuff to say, you know what, you could have did that a little better. You could have said that a little softer. If it's helping our kids with our homework or helping an old person cross the street or going to the jailhouse and talking to somebody who's incarcerated and putting a little money on the books for them or talking to people who are in the hospital visiting with them, just be present to know that God is a living reality in our being, and that we know that God works through people. And in that God works through people, it's in the relationship that we have with God that determines how we are transformed in society with each other. Because God so loved the world. He didn't say Christians. He didn't say Hindus. He didn't say Buddhists. He said the world. That includes everybody. African traditional religion, agnostics, atheists, Muslims, Jews, Orthodox Jews, Reformed, you name it. It doesn't even matter. Black, white, Jew, Gentile, Sioux, American, Indian, whatever it is, Russian, it doesn't even matter. What matters is that the love of God is exampled through our life, through our being, and that we can continue to press forward, knowing that we don't have to be fearful, we don't have to hold back. And I got 1 minute to go. Make sure you visit my website, helpsomebody.net. This is Carl. I greatly appreciate you listening. Make sure you visit the website, Help Somebody. Help somebody. Just help somebody. Just help them anyway. It doesn't even matter, because God will bless you more than what you could even ask or think for. When you start doing the work of the Lord, when you do God's work, God will fight your battles for you. God will give you a new life. God will give you everything brand new so that you don't even have to worry about it and go through life unencumbered. We just love you. We praise you. God for you. We thank you for your listening, and I dare you, I double dare you, I double triple dare you to do something to help somebody, to make a difference in the life of a child or your neighbor or your coworker. And tell you something else, guilt is a price and regret is a price that no one can pay. So forgive yourself, press on, go inside, and know that God will fight your battles despite whatever you got going on. God is the director. God is the protector. And God protects where God directs. We love you. This is Reverend Carl, and I'm still with you right here on helpsomebody.net. Tune in. Send me an email. You can send me an email at Carl, K-A-R-L, at, oh, what is my email? Carl at EF Ministries. That's right, Carl at EFMinistries.org. Just go to the website. You can see it, helpsomebody.net, and you can collect right there. God bless you and keep you until we meet again.